Good evening to you. Good morning and good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here for Roll Digs, the official Montana Tech Athletic podcast. And I'm Paul Podisco. Thanks for joining us here as we get ready here for episode number two. The first time out, we had Coach Adam Hyatt from the men's basketball program on. And this time out, we'll flip the side of the coin and we'll go to the women's side as head coach Jeff Graham in his third season at Montana Tech is in to chat with me. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of his first couple seasons as head coach of Montana Tech, what drew him to Montana Tech, and who, of course, we have to thank for making him pursue this job here at Montana Tech. We're going to delve into all that, and then we are going to fall down the rabbit hole of Class C basketball, of Class C gyms. It goes down so far, and we only skim the surface. So, again, thanks for joining us here for Roll Digs, episode number two with head coach Jeff Graham. Coach Graham, how you doing?
Good. How are you, brother?
I'm good. It's good to see you.
You too. I never see you.
This is gonna be interesting because we both have coffee. If we are probably two of the most ADHD individuals in the world, and thankfully, you have done worlds for my therapy because you are way worse than I am.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, or better, whichever way you want to look at it, my man.
Make you feel good about yourself.
I mean, it really does. It really has helped my therapy a lot. So. For that, I thank you.
You bet.
This is our opportunity to get to know head coach Jeff Graham, ladies and gentlemen. Third year here at Montana Tech, coaching the ladies basketball team. The program is, since you walked in, obviously very different. Your energy is through the roof, and it has been awful fun. And I know it's been awful hard. I mean, I'm not going to take any of that away, and we're going to talk about that. But watching this year progress. Has been a lot of fun watching the growth and watching the belief structure start to set in a little bit with some of the ladies.
Yeah, it's been a fun process, a fun year. You know, having you kind of talk me off the ledge a little bit last year, but towards the end of last year, we were really happy with where we were at and progressing and how our young kids were playing, and then, you know, had a great recruiting class coming in. And like you said, it's been fun since the first practice till now. It's been a great, great year.
Let's talk about, you know, the first 2 years. You get three conference wins each of the first 2 years. Talk about, you know, that first year, obviously, I mean, you were thrown into the fire. I mean, there was really nothing you could do as far as the roster, anything else. Like, here you go. This is who you are. Year one, off you go. You know, Coach Hyatt always calls it year zero, and that was very much the case with when you walked through the door.
Yeah, you know, I was getting the job so late in August. You know, the first thing I want to do is get Danny Urich back. You know, one of my all-time favorites from Belt, and, you know, just kind of see where we're at and, you know, have her show me what we need to do and lead. And, you know, we had a great group of kids that year, and, you know, they were trying to adjust to a new system, and I was trying to adjust to them. And, you know, it was tough. We had our schedule, I think, was top 10 in the nation that year, too, so that didn't help. And the frontier was loaded like always. But I think we learned a lot. We had a great group of kids, and then we brought in five, and, you know, kind of went from there, but it was awesome having Danny back and kind of talking about what we need to do, what worked here, and help recruit. And, you know, she just loved it here. And that was a big influence on me coming here, was how much Danny loved it.
I you know, and it's one of those where, looking at it, you know, Danny obviously played for you at Belt. How many state championships did she win?
She won.
Because you had six in, what, 15 years?
Yeah, she won two. She had a rough one her last year. Third as a freshman, and then had a rough loser out. Her semifinal game against Box Elder. We didn't get the challenge. We got third. So I think she lost like four games in her career. High jump, javelin, record when we left. She was on our one state volleyball team. She was just phenomenal. She was in state in three events and track every year. And like I was talking to my wife, I don't think she ever missed a practice and was always one of the hardest workers. That was the thing. Like you noticed here, like she was one of the first ones in the gym. And I think we've got that culture now. Our kids are showing up 15, 20 minutes early just to shoot and get their stuff done. And A lot of that was with Danny, but yeah, I mean, she was the type of kid that we wanted to recruit and build around.
Let's continue to kind of focus on Danny a little bit in that first year. You know, let's talk about you taking the job. When the job goes live, when it hits the wire, so to speak, what was your first reaction and who were your first calls?
I got contacted by, you know, Coach Merrifield and a bunch of Butte people that it was open. I was sitting in Colorado at Coors Field with my old history teacher, my son, Mr. Campbell, and Mr. Laird, and I just kind of like, nah, I'm good. I knew I had football. You know, we've been in three state shippers. I knew we had them coming. My daughter was just playing eighth grade hoops for me, which was very special. It was a fun summer getting to coach her and her friends. There was a big group of kids in her class, and you know, I was just very happy. And said, oh, it's cool, you know, and just kind of content where we were at. And you know, we had two boys at the time, and so it was. All right, and then my wife found out the next day, and she called and said, you're applying and interviewing. And so started to kind of look into it, and it was a dream I've always had. We almost went to Dickinson, you know, in 17, and I applied for the tech job back when Coach Shannon got it the first time. You know, it was a place we always liked. I got a phone interview, and it was fun. But, you know, I know how much Danny liked it, and the kids that have went here liked it. And just talking to, you know, guys around the community, the football coaches, Coach Richards, Coach Gray. You know, I just did a lot of, you know, unfortunately, listen to Jeff LaProuse and Jay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and, I mean, Ari as well. Like,
yeah, that's some shaky people.
Kind of thing, yeah.
But, you know, and I really loved what the high school, like my wife talked a lot about how special the high school is with the football staff and, you know, the basketball coaches. And, of course, having Chuck there, who I, you know, our last AD meeting that year was in Butte, the last one I was with. And, you know, I was the proponent of the shot clock, and he was right there behind me. And then we had the baseball meeting, you know, and I was one of the Class C reps, and just seeing how much they care about kids here and the school and the athletics and the opportunities, it was kind of intriguing. And so I'm glad my wife, you know, she had me apply and look into it. And, you know, obviously I didn't get it at first. I had a great candidate, and luckily she turned it down, and I got to come on campus and meet the people. And, you know, as soon as I met, you know, the hiring committee, it was, you know, and Chancellor and the people around, it was a no-brainer. I said, I pray they give it to me. You know, I left, came into it with kind of a, we'll see, and then left like, oh my gosh, I really want this. This place is special. The education here, I didn't understand how we branched out into the medical field so much, you know, the business, how well the professors work with you. So I was like, man, it's not just engineering. You can really do some recruiting here and get those special type of kids. You know, we had just amazing nurses and doctors we've turned out, and the kids I inherited were just awesome, super smart kids. And getting to see the roster, I was like, this is pretty special. You know, they had Amy Brooks had a few houses for my wife to look at, and, you know, things just kind of flowed. And, you know, we got the job, and we were living with Corey Cutler, getting ready to rock and roll, and getting Cadence to volleyball practice, and kind of scrambling for the first 2 months. But it was good trying to, you know, not leave Belt. That was a tough thing, was, you know, leaving Belt a week and a half before football started, you know, and I just had finished football camp, and luckily my staff stayed. My assistants were phenomenal, so that was great, and they had a great year and seamless transition. So it was fun. It was a long fall. It was a busy fall, but, you know, we left a lot of great people there, but we feel like we found the same community here in Butte, and it's been great.
So once you were notified that you were applying for the position by your friend, maybe we'll get her on to corroborate that story. That would be fun. How long did it take to call Danny? Was that a pretty significant conversation had about the idea of, tell me about what you've got going, tell me about the program? Kind of walk us through that conversation, if you don't mind.
Yeah. You know, I came home from Colorado a couple days later, reached out to her, and any interest in playing, what do you think, how are things? And it was just great. You know, she loved the kids. She loved her time here. You know, I was getting bombarded with, you know, coaches that wanted her. Everybody in the league wanted her. And, you know, I just said, hey, you know, would you like it? Would you do anything different? And instantly, you know, without even hesitation, she said, nope, I loved it. You know, and that means a lot. Like, yeah. I'm like, all right, that, you know, she's a great Belt kid, small town kid. Both parents are from the area. And it's like, that's pretty special. And she goes, your family would love it. You know, Coach Shannon spoke nothing, but, you know, I talked to her right away, and we were high school together, and she just loved the people, loved the community. I know she loved her time here, so nothing but positives. And reached out to a few of the football coaches, and, you know, and I knew Chris Brown from his days in Twin, and so that made me feel good that, you know, Chris would leave a Class C school after, what, 10 or 11 years and come here, 9, 10 years, whatever it was, and he loved it. So the staff is just phenomenal. I think, you know, Matt's vision of what they had, and the fact that, like, talking to Coach Hyatt of, you know, you can build this here, you can win here. You know, we never lost to Tech when I played. You know, my wife never lost to Tech. And Coach Hyatt, like you said, hey, it's year zero. You see what you're at, you build. And being able to follow the footsteps of what they did, and, you know, talking to him about the process, and the facilities are awesome. You know, the town's great. So there's just so many positives. There wasn't one thing that we didn't like here. It was just the fact of, you know, leaving Belt and, you know, leaving the Northern Sea, something that we'd grown up with for 40 years. But
yeah, and I certainly want to get back to that. And we'll talk about, you know, your upbringing, your history. If, you know, if people are unfamiliar, we're going to delve into that. But let's go from, so you decide, all right, this is it. You know, I remember your interview. You came in, you talked to the room full of people, and it was that visit really switched for you, huh?
It was, yeah. I mean, just, you know, starting out, meeting with everybody, and, you know, just the questions they had, they were great. They were purposeful. You know, just seeing everybody cared. You know, like, I've had kids play in every school in the league and been around the league, know most of the coaches, and just seeing how tight-knit they are. I know Coach Bignell really stresses that. You know, like, after a big win on Thursday, every football coach is reposting. You know, you're the biggest fan. You know, it's just, it's awesome. You know, Matt knows every kid in the department. And I really like it. And the kids get along. They support each other well. It's just, it's fun. I get to sneak into film at football. And Coach Solomon's been just such a mentor. You know, getting to, you know, just having him calm me down the first couple of years and remind the process. And
has he tried to get you into flip-flops yet?
Take my shoes off. That's the only thing. But okay. Not the
Well, we'll get you to flip-flops. I mean, you're only a couple of years into this thing. We'll get you in flip-flops sooner or later.
And our trips doing camps together, and just how well he handles kids and how it's fun to watch. He reminds me a lot of him and Coach Hyatt. Remind me a lot of watching Coach Durham and Coach England, and, you know, and just taking bits and pieces from those guys and how they run things. It's just, I mean, a phenomenal department here. And so it's been great. I've had a lot of people to lean on and learn from. And yeah, it's, I mean, when they hired you, you said the same thing. Like, this is family. This is home.
It's home. It's family.
I mean, we love going. I mean, how many people can say they love going to work every single day?
Yeah.
I mean, a 12-hour day flies by, and, you know, I'm just excited to go. Then adding Coach Bignell is just the icing on the cake. And the same mentality we have, you know, a small-town rancher comes from a coaching family, you know, part of a program that she turned around the Western program, so she's been there and the experience, and it's been awesome.
Talk about that first recruiting class. You know, when you've got a year in, you get three conference wins, you understand. I mean, you obviously understand the frontier as well or better than most people upright do anyway. Talk about what was important for you in that first recruiting class, whether it be high school or you know, JCs or pulling other athletes in. Talk about what was important for you to bring into the program.
You know, we wanted to get the Butte kids. We wanted to get, you know, Brooke. We wanted to get, you know, the best talent around, you know, and then we needed a point guard. We'd like to move Allie off to the two a little bit, being a shooter. You know, we had Soto coming back, Aubrey. Just didn't really feel like we had a true point guard that first year. And, you know, Allie's more of a shooter, so we went out and Zeke helped us get Chloe, which was great. And then luckily, you know, I've been coaching against Avery Carlson since she was in junior high. We do a lot of stuff with Haver together and just love her warrior mentality and her toughness. And thank goodness she's a genius. And, you know, I don't know what type of doctor or whatever she'll be. She'll want to come to Tech. And, you know, we lucked out getting her. And then we knew we kind of needed a post. We needed a size. It was hard to get people to come here. I mean, I think everybody and their dog told me no. And we're very thankful that, you know, Brooklyn gave us a chance. You know, her dad came here, got to meet JT, got to go around. And, you know, he had some kids from our lineman program at Highlands. And, you know, Brooklyn was a godsend. It gave us some size to help out with, you know, Chalice. And we could move Aubrey down to the four. You know, we were losing Tavia, Danny. We were losing a lot of scoring. You know, and just trying to get the kids that would feel and, you know, fit a part of our program. You know, Liv and JC were here. They came in with me with Carly's class. And we had Kaya Mace, you know, and Obbs are still with us. So, you know, we have five people from that first class. And we knew we needed to get some, you know, a big and a post and a point guard. But we didn't want to get rid of anybody. You know, like, we liked the kids we had. We liked the core we had. So, you know, bringing in that first recruiting class of five kids, we thought it was a nice group.
How much did you feel like a change occur? You know, I mean, when you go into year one, you've got some of your ladies in, you've got your mentality in a little bit. How did you feel that kind of shift and go through that second year?
I felt like our, you know, our defensive scheme we had, you know, we played a different defensive style. What I learned from Coach Turcotte there at Carroll, and you know, the drills were already in place. The kids understood it. It was a little bit so like the first, you know, couple weeks of practice. Like, oh, here we go. We're further ahead. We felt like we were a week or two ahead. You know, we were one of the best defensive teams in the nation all year. We couldn't score.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't by lack of effort or anything. It was just, you know, we just didn't hit shots, and you know, we played our butts off, and part of that is there's just great teams in the league, but you know, bringing in those guys that we brought in were just tough. You know, the Carlsons and Chloe, the on-ball type of defense they can play, and you know, Brooklyn gave us a little bit of size there, and you know, Battle was a great little player. Then Madison, she's doing track, and there was just another post, and then Taylor Henley played a little bit before she had to leave. So you know, we kept adding, and then we knew we were going to lose a lot of kids. So we knew this class had to be big, and we knew we needed some JC help. So, you know, we lucked out and got Hadley and Olivia, and, you know, fell into Olivia because, you know, she was hurt and didn't play a lot. And then it's like, oh, all of a sudden we got, you know, a couple little freshmen that people are like, whoa.
Hello.
You know, who's this? Yeah, who's this? Hauber and Nybauer. Okay, well, Hauber was signed, luckily, in the summer. She was sixth man on a Billings West volleyball basketball team that – you know, Wynn State, and, you know, just a winner and a warrior, small town parents. And Nybauer's the youngest of four, you know, the sisters have played college hoops, you know, and she was just tougher than snot. And we just said, all right, we're going to get bigger and longer. We really loved how, you know, how Macy was, like the type of defender Macy Aubrey and Liv were. You know, we had the shooters in Battle Caius. So we're like, all right, we really don't need to bring in any shooters. We have our good little point guards. And then, you know, falling into our hands, we get Rachel. At the end of May, she calls.
Yeah, and that's one where people will be reintroduced to Rachel here next season, as she is redshirting this year, but transfer from MSU Northern.
Yeah, she is tough. I mean, there's days in practice where, you know, she's just a straight score, you know, and so then all of a sudden, you know, we get Cam Ketchum that summer too, and it's like, all right, we got Battle Kai, and we can afford to redshirt Cam now. You know, and, you know, kind of develop, like we said with Kaya there, you know, how much defensively, and would she hit five threes this weekend or whatever she had, you know, just phenomenal. And we really think Cam's going to flow into that with battles. Like, all right, we don't need to bring in an instant shooter. We can bring in one to redshirt and get stronger and develop. So, I mean, with our redshirt crew, you know, you throw Emma and Cam and, Celine, for crying out loud, as tough as there is, you know, and we can throw that five out there, and JC and Chloe and Rachel. It's a great scout team. Like, we're up, like Coach Hyatt said, we're finally up to 16, 17 kids with Livia hurt, and we can practice more. I felt that first year, it was like, holy smokes, we had 11, 12 kids at practice. It's a long year. You're getting worn out. It's tough to give looks. Yeah. I mean, it's like, how much are you going to play those dudes when they're playing 35 a night and, you know, kind of wearing down in practice and try to get reps. So, it's been a great, the last two classes. You know, I think we have, 12 new kids in, and, you know, five that we've had the whole time. And you can just tell the experience is coming.
Do you see that? Is that starting to reap benefits now when you're talking to young ladies that are still in high school, when you're talking to junior, senior classes that you're trying to recruit for next year, or even the year after? Is that something that is paying dividends? They're going, yeah, you like this class and this group right now. You know, you're well over 500 in conference, playing exceptional basketball in a very good conference. Are you starting to see that turn more heads as far as the ladies you're recruiting?
I think so. You know, it was just really hard to recruit kids here. And, you know, even when Danny signed, they're like, I mean, a couple of coaches called, why is she going there? You know, like, she can be a part of a winning program, but it's just such a great place. I think you come here and visit, you get the feel, you get the atmosphere, and the kids just love it. And, I mean, the chemistry of the girls here has just been phenomenal the past couple of years. And, we got our scholarships kind of straightened out. You know, we really liked the Conan kid we got out of Dillon. You know, our mom's the all-time league scorer at Western. She's as good as athlete as there is. She qualified at five events in state track as a sophomore. Then is one of the better softball players in the state.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Cheer girl is going to be a great little project. She does both with, like Emma Conan does. She'll help out Coach Merrifield, and we have a couple other recruits we like. But I mean, we're young. We don't need to bring in a lot of kids. And, you know, we got, like I said, Rachel and Olivia, you know, waiting in the wings. So we're really excited about where we're at there. And so we're kind of focused on the juniors and sophomores. And, you know, like you said, people, hey, Tech's finally winning. And it's been good to see a lot of people around the state saying that and had some beliefs. We got some good buddies that, you know, are putting the word out for Tech. And, you know, hopefully we'll keep adding.
For those that are unfamiliar, those that are around, obviously if people have been at the games, they've obviously been very well introduced to Hadley Humphreys. Hadley Humphreys coming out of Utah, originally from Blackfoot, Idaho. She and Olivia were teammates, correct?
Yeah, and you know, we've been following Hadley all year, and in the film we had, there was no Olivia. She was kind of dinged up, and I went down and watched him play, and I'm like, whoa, who's this gal? And only a 4.0 engineer. That was student of the year out of $35,000 junior college.
Yeah, so, that's all right. You know, I mean, you know, that's
her and Abby Clark start talking during our visit, and I just wandered away, you know, and it was unbelievable. But yeah, she ended up going to Civil, but you know, just a great kid in working the rehab, had her knee fixed, and you know, her and Hadley are just the core kids we needed. And just when they came and practiced with us and played, how they talked and their leadership, and they came from winning high school and junior college programs. Yeah. And that's the big thing we looked at with, you know, Carlson, Nyebauer, Chinook. I mean, look how many games Emma Conan's won.
Yeah.
You know, look at the kids. Cam Ketchum's a national championship free throw shooter and been to the state tournament, you know, state champ basketball. And, you know, Celine's been coached by one of the better, most competitive football coaches, and Mom's a stud. So, like, yeah. Looking where these kids came from and the winning programs that they came from, and that was awesome. You know, the expectation of, all right, let's go win. You know, like, Had, let's go beat these guys. Let's go end a 8-year drought against Carroll. Let's go win a, 10-game drought in Providence. You know, they are, yep. And they just allowed Brooklyn to play a little bit more of a 4, Aubrey to play a little bit more of a 3, Macy a 2-3. I mean, people ask why we start that big lineup, and we said, well, we're tough to defend.
Very.
You know, and then we can bring in, you know, some other kids, and we like the combinations of who we bring in together. Then with Kai and Battle shooting like they are, and you know, Nyebauer and Avery just cause havoc on D, and Hauber still doesn't quite figure out how good she is. She had an amazing week, couple post moves. I mean, not many kids like her are getting thrust into 15 minutes a game in the Frontier as a freshman, and she's just responded, and we're asking a lot out of her with, you know, backing up B and Hadley. So it's been good. We've gotten, you know, 10, 11 kids. A lot of playing time this year, and the style we play, we feel like we're fresh. I felt like we had great energy on that road trip, you know, up to Great Falls in Northern, a 4-day road trip, and coming in with 2 wins and scoring some points, and had a great practice yesterday. So I think just that freshness of how we can practice with, you know, 15, 16 kids every day and then, you know, run to 9, 10. That's kind of like the system I like, and play your butt off and defend, and you know, good things will happen. So, and if you're hot, you're going to stay in and score some more.
Well, and that's, you know, we always talk, JT and I are always talking about the line change. I mean, you're always, I mean, it feels like a hockey game out there at times where you've got five out with your A squad, and then, you know, the checking unit, if you will, comes in where you replace everybody on the floor. The defensive pressure does not move. It actually maybe even may gain half a notch just because, you know, the fresh legs coming in and getting after it. Talk about that mentality of, you know, it's certainly different than people, I think, normally see. I mean, you certainly don't see it. I don't know. I can't attest. I was going to say you don't see it in the NBA, but I don't watch the NBA. I'm very sorry. But, I mean, it is a coaching style and kind of a rotation style you just don't see very often.
Yeah, we like to play. I mean, we're starting to figure out how many baskets we're scoring. Most of them are in transition, the preseason. We're running well. It's getting us some mismatches in our early transition that we run that Coach Durham ran there at Western that I really like. Not to the point of Coach Cars yet. We're not that quick down there at MSUB. But we always like the mentality of sub up. And we always just said, hey, 10 or 11 in belt, you know, whatever we were playing, you know, always beats 5. You know, wear them down, and bench points is big to us. And, you know, you just don't know who's going to have a great day. And then, you know, each day Coach Bignell and I'll go through there, and here's our combination. So it seems like, all right, you know, we found some great combinations. Obviously, the one with bringing in Avery, Kai, and Nibes last weekend was huge. You know, who's playing well together? All right. And what I love is the girls will pick a set or two. You know, hey, B, here's the 4 you're with today for the first, you know, 5 scripted plays in practice. What do you like? Oh, Kai and I do this together. Chloe and I do this, you know. So it doesn't matter, you know, people are like, oh, you don't even know who's in. You know, Gamrod, you still, I mean, you don't even know who's in. You know, I was like, well, the girls get used to each other. The way we practice and sub, they're in different groups, and we find things that, hey, I know so-and-so is going to be here on this. These guys do a couple things together. So, you know, based out of our transition and a couple of our sets, they're really comfortable with each other. I mean, you can see here's what we're doing today. We're going into practice right there, and there's the spots for each of the kids to write in. Here's 2 or 3 things I like with this group. Here's your groups for the day, and then, you know, go. And so,
how much of that is dependent on opponent? You know, because I think of the main one I think of is Rocky. You know, Rocky is a huge team. I think they're a nightmare to match up with anybody in the conference this year. So talk about how it's real dependent on each opponent each week. Is that the case?
Yeah, and it's just amazing how smart the girls are. Like our last Rocky matchup here, four of them out of their two sets had the exact same.
Okay.
And most of them had one out of two. You know, they have got a good feel that what works, what likes. You know, we'll try a couple things in practice, but... Yeah, you know, normally we're bigger than everybody, mm-hmm. you know, and we can post up most teams, you know, with what we have. But yeah, holy smokes, Rocky is just, you know, I've been coached against the Darn Higgum girls. I mean, geez, since Maddie was, you know, in junior high and eighth grade. So it's, you know, different ways to stop. And then you add Detman on that, and Linz is just a stud. Like, you don't see teams with four big players like that, plus, you know, three amazing guards.
Yeah.
You know, and Taylan comes in and does a good job. So they're eight deep. But, you know, that's how West likes to play. And they're just a completely different. That's what's crazy about the Frontier. You know, is you
each,
know
each game, each weekend is completely different.
And then you got Coach Moa, you know, one of the winningest coaches around. You know, yeah. National tournaments, you know, 4 years in a row up there, and you know you're preparing. There was 27 sets. We cut it down to we're like, you know, God knows he runs more.
Yeah.
But like here's the 27 that we got to learn Friday, you know, and be ready to go Saturday. And you know, you think you're feeling good, you're playing good, you're up by 17 and a half, and all of a sudden he makes two adjustments. It's a 4-point game. You know, he just is. You told me he's going to throw something. You know, we knew he was. And
yeah.
Of course he does, and you know, it's so different week by week, and that was the toughest thing was preparing for different styles and learning them. You know, like that first year I was watching, you know, we still watch every single game, but like I didn't know what Carroll's going to do here. You weren't familiar with them, you know, trying to watch from the year before, and yeah. It felt like, all right, how much time do I spend on them or just spend on us? So I think last year, second half of the year, you know, we did well defensively. Like, we got to work on us. We got to find ways to score. And we did. We, you know, we changed up the lineup a little bit, and we found some ways to score, and found some things that work. And I think we finally found our identity this year, and some transition, you know, and inside out. We didn't have a, like JT said, we never had that post presence. We didn't have the post scoring that you need in this league.
Yeah.
You know, the Pickens and Garretts and the
have
Rockies
to.
And
have to.
You know, Western was a little bit different. They still could score inside. You know, they had mm-hmm. Fitzgerald and Sweeney and those guys, and Northern's always had great posts, and you know, it's just. It's hard, and you know, I think we're a little bit more balanced, and we found some things that worked. You know, we had struggled a little bit early in the year at Dickinson and MSUB, but then kind of found our stride, and so it's been fun. I think the girls are, you know, comfortable with my style and comfortable with each other. You know, we're asking a lot, bringing in a lot of new kids. I mean, if you look at, I mean, Liv and JC that year when they came in, how many new players they've played with has been crazy. You know, same as Mason, Obbs and Kaya too. So. Yeah, they've done a great job adjusting, and I feel like we're getting better. Like, that's the kind of the cool thing. It's like, hey, we got 2 weeks left. You know, we got to get a win or two here.
Yep.
You know, we'd love to, you know, finish above 500, obviously. And
there's always that there are so many things that are said every week in every sport, and you always want to be better come playoffs.
Yeah.
And playing your best ball at playoff time, and that is certainly. The trajectory you're on right now is getting ready, you know, for our playoffs here in a couple of weeks, and we'll certainly talk about that more as we get closer. But playing exceptional basketball here as we close toward the end of the regular season.
Yeah, and we're young.
Yeah,
you know, we're young. Granted, we got the four great seniors, which is huge. But you know, the freshmen we're asking a lot of, and they're improving, and you know, Hadley's getting more comfortable, and you know, AC and Chloe and Battle, like we're young. We sub, you know, sometimes we'll throw AC, Battle, and Nibes in there with Hobber. I mean, there's four freshmen coming off, and they're starting to learn the league. You know, you could see some wide eyes the first game in Rocky, Hadley and Hobber, like, oh my Lord, oh boy, welcome to the road. And they say, hey,
welcome to the frontier.
Welcome to the frontier. Yeah. You know, life on the road. And we responded.
Yeah.
You know, that's been the kind of recover and respond has been what we've seen. You know, we didn't let it bug us. Guys, the winning team's probably going to have four or five losses in this league, you know. Right now, Carroll's sitting really well with two, but, you know, everybody else is right there and said the league is so good that you never get too high, you know, never get too low. That's, you know, that's kind of the key of this league, and just survive. And if you have a great season, I mean, it's going to put you in play for, you know, postseason.
Survival is the absolute word for the Frontier, especially in its current form. Obviously, things are going to change next year. We could talk about that later, but in its current, the current lifestyle we know of the Frontier Conference, survival is of the utmost.
Yeah. I mean, you know, between, you know, Rocky West or Rocky Northern and Carroll, you know, you got the three winningest coaches in their program history, correct?
I think you're right. Yeah.
in their program.
I'd be hard-pressed to believe that's not the case anyway.
You know, and I know Mr. Himmelberg is now too.
Yeah.
So, you know, four out of the programs there. I mean, you got great coaches that have been there. Two teams that were in the national semis, and, you know, Rocky's been there, and Western's won it. So,
yeah.
You know, we're just trying to get on in Northern. You know, had those great, great, great years with Fapel, and I'm proud of my Taylor Cummings, my belt gal, of course. But, you know, All-American, she got inducted to the Hall of Fame, so got to see her plaque last weekend. Awesome. And but yeah.
This conference, you know, I always say it on the men's side just continually is getting better and better. The women's side has been at such a high level for so long because of those coaches. You know, you look at those coaching level, you look at the success that the programs have had at the national level. You know, you talk about Coach Mowat up there and the teams he had that gotten into the national tournament and fought hard through the national tournament. Obviously, you look at the run that Western put together to hang the banner. You look at how consistently Carroll College has been at the national tournament and playing at a very high level at the national tournament. It is a meat grinder on the women's side of the Frontier Conference, period. I mean, that is the only way to say it.
And, you know, even back in my day, you know, Northern was loaded with those teams.
Yeah.
You know, sure, they win the national, you know, they were amazing. And then, you know, Coach Nelson took over Carroll when I was there with Carly. And all of a sudden, Carroll's a perennial national tournament team, you know, and it just hasn't stopped. And then, you know, Coach Englund, you know, thank God he had my wife. You know, she won him a couple of games. But that guy was the wizard.
His teams were incredible.
Oh,
I mean you Bobby, think about Bobby Scherr. Catherine Sundberg, they were so good.
Better correct you. Godmother Sunwall.
Sunwall, excuse me. I'm
Jimmer's
sorry.
Jimmer's godmother. Or no, Jesus, geez, I don't even know which one she is. But yeah, she's an All-American in two sports.
Yeah.
But watching England work, and, you know, those West Mini teams and LC teams, look at Coach Orr back when, I mean,
yep.
Unbelievable. Like, I called Coach Orr and almost took an assistant job there. I'm like, I got to learn from you. Same as J.D. Gustin asked him, and Dinger went to Westminster. I mean, that league was
so good.
Unbelievable. You know, and Hendel was one of the greatest guys there was and had some great teams. And it was just, I mean, the women's has been good for 25, 30 years.
It really has. And maybe because I'm such a Frontier fan, it's always surprising to me that we've only hung one banner. Like, it feels like we have had a run where, you know, I feel like Westminster, right when they joined the conference, was insane. And I wish I could remember the post player that was there. She was first-team All-American. She might have been player of the year at the NAIA level. She was an absolute monster. LC went Good through call. Their run where they got into the semis. It felt like every year.
Yep.
Yeah, there were.
And then Tech had the good run here with Holsinger and Carey, and, you know, they had a great little run
Carey
there.
Had a couple of years where we were off to the national tournament and battling.
Those were some good. I mean, I'm coaching against them my first year out at college, and I went and sat on their bench at halftime. I'm like, good Lord. I'm like, I don't even know what to say. We were at UP then and had two wins, and I'm like, you guys are just, and she's like, same thing, you know, you can build it. And,
well,
you know,
exactly.
And I love keeping in touch with Carey, and she just is optimistic and knows you can win here.
Well, and I love the idea of that progression, because, you know, you talk to any coach, Coach Hyatt, we talk to Coach Sampson, whatever the case is, you know, first you have to know and you have to figure out how you win in conference. You've got to get wins in conference where there you go. That climb is underway. You know, you're getting wins in conference. You've made a name. The ladies are believing in what they're building. And they are the foundation of what you're building here. And I can't wait for that next step of, you know, getting wins in conference and then understanding what it takes to win at the national level. You know, that is such a big stride. You know, and it's so fun to watch and to learn where, all right, we can get wins in conference. We're battling it out. We're bleeding for these wins in conference. And then there is the next step of getting to the tournament not only, but then learning how to win tournaments at that next level. And, you know, to watch the progression go is going to be fun. And obviously, I mean, you're not going to lose any more hair over it, which is a bonus.
That happened a few years in the belt.
This conference is just astounding as we know it. And I'm real interested to see what it's going to look like over the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, Dakota State right now, top five. You know, they're absolutely loaded. Jamestown, top 25. Mayville was 14 when we played them. You know, and Dickinson's beat, what, us, Rocky, Western. I mean, that's – and they're in the middle of that league. I mean, it is brutal. You know, there's going to be Bellevue. You know, you look at them, and they're in the same boat we are, playing everybody three times, you know, and talking to Selvig on the men's end. It's just, you know, cannibalization, basically, you know, and just
– truly.
You know each other so well, and if you have one off day, especially if you're on the road – good luck, you know.
And we assume, you know, I talked to Coach Hyatt about it. We'll see travel partners again. We'll kind of go through that as soon as we get a schedule set. You know, it'll be a great conversation to sit down and kind of go through that and figure out how the travel works and kind of move forward. But I continually look back at what Westminster and Lewis Clark State did to this conference when they joined. We were a decent conference when they joined. Everybody else had to learn how to swim once those two programs were dropped in the pool. I'll be very interested to see what the landscape looks like next year when we get, you know, the remaining DAC schools, if you will, you know, joining, and we'll see where the cream rises and you know, how the battles commence.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, I grew up in that time when LC and Westminster were coming, and I mean, I got to play my freshman year in that old gym. I mean, it felt like you were on the High Line somewhere, and yeah. You know, Outlook or Rudyard or something, and their baseball players are hitting the basket. It's moving, you know, and they're 2-3 zone. They're extending out of bounds. Like, holy, I've never seen these five of these athletes and shooters. And, you know, Coach Hyatt was part of those Westminster teams. And, you know, I think that's when, like, when people said when the Frontier started recruiting a little bit more out of state.
Yeah. You know, you had to. I mean, you know, it's not taking anything away from our state, but you need some dudes.
We needed that size.
If you're going to win, you need some dudes.
You know, I think we saw that going to the national tournament. You know, there were some great teams, and you got to find some size somewhere. And, you know, Carol, when I was there, we had a couple good kids from Washington and, you know, fill in, you know, your base Montana kids, but or a couple D1 drop downs like a few of the people would get. But, it's just been competitive, and those guys were really good teams and have made it fun. And, you know, obviously LC State's still dominating over there, and, you know, Westminster jumped up to D2, and it'll be kind of fun next year to have some new teams and, you know, not prepping for somebody for the third time and seeing them in the conference tournament for the fourth time.
And scheduling a non-conference, which is one of, from the outside in again, you know, knowing coaches through all the years, even when I was doing radio, that was always the biggest, and it felt like the hardest part of almost the job at times, was trying to find non-conference games, and especially trying to get anyone to come here.
I mean, you're exactly right. We had that great Butte tournament when I was playing, you know, and like my wife said, it'd be them, Tech, and, you know, somebody else, you know, probably Carroll or Rocky or whatever it was, and she's like, we beat these teams from Mississippi, Tennessee. You know, they get up here, they'd, holy crap, this Montana team's great. Yeah. You know, and you might go 1-2, you know, 0-3 in Montana, and, you know, people didn't mind playing us back then at Providence, but Coach Himmelberg's got that thing rocking and rolling now, and there's just no easy games. And I remember, you know, talking to Wes and Wooly a lot about that, and Coach Moa was just like, we can't get made to play. You know, who wants to go to Haver and play in the toughest gym? I mean, that was my funnest gym. You know, I've been everywhere in the league, you know, five places coached and played, but that was my favorite gym to play in. Like, I just felt Farmer. We had the biggest home court advantage as a player there and just loved it. You know, and who's going to go up there? Plus, you're that far away, and, you know, you're in for it. And, only having to find the six games now is going to be great. You know, like, we had to go count a game against Idaho this year because, you know, we had a team bail and didn't want to play, and you couldn't find anybody else. And, you know, Coop and I are trying to work on that. You know, Bill's going all over the place next year. And it's tough to find teams that want to come to Montana and play because they want to keep their good record, you know. And, you know, we're looking at finances and budget. That's why the Arizona tournament's been great ever since.
Yeah.
You know, they did that, I mean, way back in my day, my senior year, that was a fun little tournament. And, you know, we got to play Campbellsville, and, you know, Loyola was ranked at the time. And a good Benedictine Mesa right now is top third of their conference, you know. Yeah. So you go down and get three good games there. And, this will be interesting to see what we can do for the non-conference now and then how we're going to have conference games so early.
Yes.
You know, my first year here, we had conference games in December. Like, I didn't even know what we were doing. I think we got smacked by 20-some those first two. Like,
it was so strange because we'd have two. And then it would take like a month off, and then we would get back into conference again.
Yeah, and you know, our kids were in finals. Yeah. I remember Coach Hyatt talking about how tough that was. I'm like, holy crap, how are we going to practice during finals week? And we got two conference games, you know, and, you know, navigating through that. And this year was great, too. We started school a week later, so we actually had 2 weeks of conference without classes. And that's big for our kids, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, Wednesday, we didn't practice. We had a shoot-around Wednesday, and we got to get to class. You know, we're already missing some classes, and Thursday, Friday, they're making up labs, and, you know, that's tough on our kids right now around midterms and stuff. So I just credit how well our kids have adapted. It used to be an excuse when I first got here, and that just drove me nuts of, well, this is like, guys, this is, yeah, it's tough. But when you're a mother, or, you know, you're working and you're a good job and kids, like, you're going to want the experience of having a time management through weights, a practice, you know, school and a you know, some of you guys have jobs. Like, this is what you're building, so you're prepared for that. And our girls have really embraced it. You know, like we've talked about being tech tough, and hey, they're not. They're finding. We copied Coach Selvig's shooting thing this year, and it's amazing, guys. It's not that hard to go get a couple shots, a couple hundred shots in a week. You know, and just that. It's been awesome. The leaders we have, just, I mean, great kids that we're really going to miss, those four seniors. You know, I've already, you know, Maynard coming in, it's kind of been a bummer. I like seeing him, but I don't like seeing him when he's getting ready for senior night, you know. Yeah. Comes way too quick, and we joke about it, you know, the first week. I said, guys, you don't know how quick it's going to come. You know, I've been with a lot of seniors in football, basketball, track, and it's just like, holy crap, it goes so slow your freshman year, and then the last couple of years, it's done.
A downhill slide.
And I can't remember if it was Kai or one of the kids, Liv or Kai Mace, talked about being where your feet are this year. That was one of their things they talked about in our team meeting. And I was like, yeah, let's embrace it, enjoy it, not look forward to the next week or, you know, let's. I loved our road trip up to Great Falls. Like, God, you know, we watched the men's game. We had food ready. We sat down and watched Carroll Western or Northern together and had team dinner. They, you know, had a great shoot around. And some of us went and watched Haver High. You know, just that team bonding on the bus. Jimmer and the girls were doing karaoke, and, you know, they were teasing him on some yes or no game, and I was like, that's the fun stuff. You know, that's what Coach Durham texted me before the year. He's like, don't forget to, you know, make a memory, have fun, because you're going to miss the kids. You know, he goes, don't get wrapped up in wins and losses and practices. You know, he's like, take time for your family. And that's what's great here. Like, I forgot to mention that in our interview. You know, like I said, Matt, man, my wife's coached three sports. I coached three in the AD. I was like, can my kids be around the work? Can they, you know, go on trips if we need? Can they be on the sidelines at football games? He goes, nope, it's recommended. You know, and so I called Coach Sampson. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we had, you know, 30-some kids in the department when I got here, and I think we're darn close, you know. And
yeah.
I love seeing the trainers bring their little kids. It makes me miss my kids being little, but I can give them back, you know. But, you know, Sol gets to be here with you and working. And
just, she was looking through the window at us a little bit ago, so she's swearing at you because you're in her seat.
Yeah, that's just – it's so fun that you get to spend that time with your daughter here, you know, and – you know, we take time out to go watch our kids and then go back and work later, you know, and I really like how the coaches have balanced that. You know, Schleedog's done it forever and kind of led by example. And it's fun to see, you know, the new little babies. We've got, what, three little babies coming here in the football department.
That's crazy.
They're not mine. I'm so jacked. We have little babysitters with Cadence and Ellie, but I mean, it's just fun to, you know, it's a great atmosphere is what he's built, and I just think people, you know, our professors down the hallway are just phenomenal with John and
Andrew. Cares about the kids, you know. It's one of those where, you know, we're in wrestling season, we're in basketball season.
Avon made state swimming, you know. I'm like, hey, Coach, man, he made state swimming three events as a sophomore. That's big time,
you know. That there's you know, it's not just they're around, like there is an actual care of, you know, how the kids are doing. Are they competing? Are they having fun? Are they enjoying their time? There's a lot more to it, and you see it every day.
Yeah, and working with, you know, we get to use the Mac. You know, you got the Boyles open up the Mac 24/7. You know, you got Kelsey Thatcher taking care of it east, you know. Travis and Chuck taking care of it north, you know, or I mean, excuse me, Butte High. And then we have the middle school, you know, shares the track with us. Like, how well the college works with everybody, you know, and, you know, then our mayor is going to get some things done. You know, we're going to have a great facility. The community sees it, and let's pass this facility. I mean, what this community does is, you know, just special. It's phenomenal what the Thatchers, all the Thatchers do for the family. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, and the alumni we got at every game, it's just.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about it since you've been here, that idea that Butte is just a really large Class C school or Class C town.
Yeah.
And it is. It's built, and it's just, you know, a couple thousand more people is all.
Yeah, which makes it better. There's that many more good people, you know, like.
Just and that many more rumors.
I just say it's built on steroids, and it's just. They care. It's just, I mean, our host family program that we started has doubled, you know, with people wanting in. You know, we started with just alumni. It's just awesome.
Especially when you get support. My mom just like making things for people, and she doesn't even know who her girls are. So she'll just randomly drop stuff off.
You know, and Miss Mary Lee was always kind of the host mother before it was, you know, and she's dropping off cookies and all the games, you know, and how well she stayed connected with people. And like, that's what we're building, you know, is those relationships. You know, I was just so fortunate with my host families that I have. I'm still friends with them, and, you know, Coach Bignell is, and, you know, just expanding that. I mean, Rod and Mary Lee had a great idea with that, and for us to be able to expand, it's been a blast.
Hey, welcome back once again to Roll Digs, the official Ortiger podcast. Coach Graham, how you doing?
Good, my brother.
You're so quiet. Are you okay? Like, I was kind of worried about you there for a while. You're like, quiet, because you're not a quiet person. Because I want to record your antics during a game, and I'm sorry if antics isn't the word you think I should use, but I'm going to go with antics. But I want to record that, and then we'll release it as a workout video. We'll put some music behind it, and people have to do the box jumps and the arm flails. I think you have to burn 7,000, maybe 8,000 calories during a game.
Can I get some royalties?
No. Dang it. All right. We're just going to roll it into like scholarship.
Okay, there we go.
Well, your team will gain from it.
We'll do that.
Does your wife talk to you about what you do to her?
She kind of get, yeah. In my first year, I tried a couple games of being calm and sitting on the bench. And Renzi always tells this, and she's like, I was going to kill you. Like, I got a technical one game in Three Forks. We're playing Malta. Steve O and West were right there, Savage O and the crew, and it's like, you know, we're both Wayne State. We knew it was a big game.
Yeah.
And we go out Styles right away. Two quick fouls on no calls, you know, and I'm looking at her dad, he's laughing at me, you know, and I get up, I'm like, God damn, would you guys call a foul on her? And hey, you know, calm down. And I did my usual, pat him on the butt, got whapped, and I thought Steve Keller was gonna kill me. He goes, what? Can't touch an official. So I had to sit. That was like the last game I sat, and I sat between Renz and Suze, and they said, you ever get one again, we quit. So I don't know. I just so I go down to the end of the bench quite a bit and be by myself so I can relax and crouch. And I was kind of comfortable in football like that too. I'd try to be at the end so I could talk to my quarterbacks when they came back.
I was just gonna say I never called one of your games at Belt, surprisingly enough. But I obviously familiar through the Cleve. That's I think how we became friends, honestly.
Yes, sir. First time we met.
So I'm not familiar with your coaching style football-wise. So you're kind of the same? You kind of hang out at the end of the box down there in college?
Yeah, and I liked working with the clipboard and my call sheet. I had a few notes with my call sheet, so just crouching was always nice, and I could write and, you know, took my notes, and then I had my other OC behind me, my quarterbacks signaling and stuff. But it was always a way for me to be close to them. And, yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of comfortable, and I could work the sideline there, and I think I got used to, you know, running back and forth. And it was a little bit more room in the football field, so the officials liked it. And just that energy of being able to go, you know, get warned a little bit for coming out, celebrating too much. But, I don't know. Like, they said my dad was pretty calm. He was, Grandpa was very calm, so I don't know.
Do you ever see that changing? I mean, has it changed at all through the years?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I try not to yell as much.
When you're old and decrepit like me, like, are you going to be able to get up out of the power squat? I mean, are you worried about that?
Coach Mowat said that. He's like, you won't be squatting that much longer. I'm like, I don't know if I don't have, you know, something wrong with my knees or ACLs or what. But yeah, Coach was giggling. He always teases me about that. And he's like, pretty soon, he's like, you are 40. So, but I don't know. It's easier. And I always thought it was just easy to talk to my kids at eye level too. I could crouch. I wasn't in their way, you know, and then, I don't know. It was just kind of something that.
Moe giving anybody a hard time. I mean, that would be like him smiling or something. You know, I mean, you'd think it'd be hard to have a perpetual scowl on your face 24/7 too, but he seems to pull it off.
I tell you what, he's my daughter's all-time favorite, and they were crushed. Oh, who doesn't? They were crushed when we moved. They were really liking to see Coach Mowat a lot, and, you know, just treats those kids so well. And I had such a fun time. You know, the year they moved the hit from Malta to Haver was the year I started. So I think I got to coach the hit like 10, 12 years, and it just was awesome. Just was a great, you know, and Haver was always special to me, and, you know, Christian was our trainer when I was there. And, yeah, Coach Mowat, you know, and all the kids. I had Kate, you know, Katie and Taylor played for him, let alone all the kids. You know, Kaylee Shaw, you know, she's at Flathead now. All those kids that I knew that played for him loved him, you know, and Shy, and it was just awesome to see how, you know, he's at the wedding that I officiated Katie's wedding, and he's, and Natalie's. He just doesn't miss stuff, and he's just a genuinely great human that does the best for the conference. I've always, always as a Raider sticking up for us, you know, and just works his butt off to be the best, and, you know, just a great ambassador for our league.
You know, I mean, the idea of even like Hoops for a Cause, you know,
rolling
a ball like that, getting that thing started. It goes beyond. I mean, it certainly says something when Hoops for a Cause is started. He wants to raise money for the Thatcher family. When Alex Thatcher passed away, he's like, we've got to do something.
And you know, the idea of doing that camp, getting everybody involved, every single campus involved on the women's side, you know, with donations and money raised. It was an incredible camp for the start. That has transitioned from a camp to a kids tournament, which honestly probably has worked out for the best as the years have gone, but it's moved every year. You know, we've gone to all the Frontier communities and raised money for a whole slew of different things. And yeah, it's awfully special.
Yeah, he's just a great, I know my daughter, my sister loved playing for him at Rocky, and you know, just, yeah, the stuff he does, you know, all the things he's done for Havre too is incredible. I think he's going on, is it 19 years now, I think.
It sounds right.
I think he's one more year than me. We got darn near the same time, and so been fun bouncing ideas off of him. And
all right, so let's go. The one question I've always wanted to ask you, and I don't believe I ever have, is do you think there are many gyms in the state of Montana that you have not been in? Have you coached or played in pretty much every gym in this state?
Yeah, one of my favorite things when Griff and I would road trip, we'd just stop in random gyms, softball tournaments. We loved, you know, our goal was to hit as many gyms as we could. Yeah, from Moccasin to, well, Klein had burned down by the time we did it at the 42 state champs at Class B. And yeah, whenever I'd road trip in softball, I'd stop in the school, check out the gym, you know, and watch a lot of games. I love scouting. My wife didn't love it as much as I did, but I love traveling, scouting, and
yeah.
You know, working camps around the state, you know, Coach Solomon, he's like, where are we going today? I'm like, well.
Yeah, that was awfully, that was eye-opening for Coach Solomon.
He hadn't heard of Plevna, you know, and then we're going to pig races and what, Bear Creek? I'm like, yeah, they're, you know, state champs, 1935. Like, come on, dude, Belfry Bats there and, you know, heading to Glasgow from there. He goes, that's a short jaunt. Not really, you know, and we can go up to Opheim. He didn't want to go see the you know, home of Steve Keller when he got going, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved, you know, same as football when we go scouting and playing games and, you know, just getting to know all those people, though, you know, being on the scheduling committee for so many years at Class C and, you know, you just get to meet those great ADs and it's fun to stop in those towns. I love, you know, cruising and stopping. And
what are some of your favorite gyms?
Oh boy, so my favorite one was all time Shelby, just because I think I was little and growing up and watching the great matchups. You know,
okay.
That would be sold out with 4,500 people, you know, yeah. And some of the games we played there. You know, Kremlin's got a cool little gym. You had to be on one side in the afternoon because the sun would come in. Joplin's old gym, you couldn't shoot in a side. What else did I like? The ones with the over and back courts, you know, that you go past the one line, half court, then you have the extra side there, then yep. The no 3-point lines in the corner. The Civic yep. Center in Big Timber is one of my special ones. That was where Grandpa would take me. But probably my all-time favorite is just the Chester old gym. That's where I grew up and yeah. Spent hours and hours, and when Coach McLean would get upset with me for bouncing a ball when he was talking, I'd get kicked out of the main gym when he was practicing and go there. And yeah, and then he'd yell at certain kids, and he'd go tell them to run laps till he got tired. And sometimes he'd forget, and I'd walk into the gym like, Dad, should I go get Steve out of there, you know, or Brad, and you know, and so just watching. Hart Butte's gym was fun. Watching the Hart Butte Valier games were great. You know, the Brady gym, the old sunk-in one. And Great Falls High old gym would probably be my wife's favorite. That's a cool one. Okay. You know, when they would play, they had a throwback game there before Christmas. That's kind of fun. But, you know, I'm kind of like our Highline gyms are my favorite. I never got to see, you know, the Outlooks and the Flaxvilles before they were done. But Scobie old gym is cool. And just listening, you know, I got to sit with V-Man up in Havre and, you know, listen to the game. I mean, when Plentywood and Scobie and, you know, Outlook and Peerless, you know, they're all in the state championship. Antelope had a school, for crying out loud, it burned down, you know, in 75 after they got second. Like, that always interests me. So during COVID, I just started writing a book and calling up these people. You know, Nashua won the first state championship 1950. Valier hasn't been there since 1950. You know, talking to some of these old-timers. And, you know, unfortunately, we're losing a lot of these schools. But, it's always just kind of been an interest to me. And Griff and I would stop at as many gyms as we could. And it was just kind of something we did. It was fun.
Well, so let's go to said book or you're writing things down. So is that the history of these schools and these programs is part of your DNA?
Yeah, just, you know, growing up in Class C, my parents said I'd just sit in my room and sit in the living room and I'd bracket. You know, back in my day, there was 12 teams, 12 districts, 16 when it originated. And I would play every game of the district tournament, you know, and like all of a sudden Fromberg's going to go play, you know, St. Regis and the state, you know, it was just kind of fun learning them and the mascots. And, but yeah, just growing up, you know, watching these games and going to a state tournament every year and seeing what Class C team was there and who the people were was just, you know, awesome, you know, and the communities back then, you know, I was just showing our game against Western when they call timeout and they put the kid in the baseline. I'm like, oh crap, they're going to run the Billy D 88 Hinsdale Geraldine game. And I look over, and I'm not kidding, I'm telling Steppen, and then there's Deacon's, there's Birdie's dad standing up pointing. I didn't know he was the guy that ran him over. You know, long story short, Billy D takes that charge, makes one out of two, he doesn't win two, and, you know, like, I still have that on a DVD, and I collect the, you know, the Mel Stone Gardner game of 06 was a dandy, and, you know, just getting to meet the people and hear the stories was just so fun. I started putting it together when I was bored. I'm hoping my sister, when she gets some time, she's an author, and can write some of that stuff down. But I got programs from, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. And it's just fun to see the names. And
so what's your goal with it?
I would love my sister too, but, you know, maybe when I retire, just chronicle. I got a bunch of Google Sheets and outlines and, you know, short stories and just how the community would win state in 1960 doesn't have a gym. It burnt down. They played their home games in Hingham and Kremlin. I got four of those guys together, you know, and Mr. Miller came to our game. Don's sitting right behind our bench at Northern, and get to give him a hug and talk to him and just preserving that history of our small towns, you know, because they went from Guilford Bronx to the KG Cougars to the North Star Knights, you know, and it's just crazy how much it's, you know, changed up there. And I don't know, maybe my sons will care about it. Jace likes that stuff, but I want to preserve it and, you know, just keep that for future generations. And, you know, hopefully my sister will get some time one of these days and write a book, or when we retire, we can do it together.
So are you looking as you just to go back as far as you can, or like every Class C school that has had a basketball team? Is that kind of your goal, just so no one is forgotten? Is kind of that
ideally
kind of it?
So when we started this thing, you know, Class C started in 1950, and, you know, you look at like Liv's dad, you know, they played Outlook State Championship, you know, McLean grew up in the corner, so I'm hearing about Antelope, you know, and Gunther ended up going to Plentywood and beats my uncle in the 75 state championship, and you know, just seeing all these old schools. So I thought, all right, I'm going to get a hold of as many of these guys as I can. You know, like Wayne Tiedemann and Wayne Warwick from Nashua and some Valier guys in Cajun, just started calling these guys and just getting the info and just hearing the funny stories that they had to tell about, you know, getting to practices or what their coaches were like. And I got to meet the coach of the Guilford team. You know, he's in Great Falls. And yeah, I just kind of thought it'd be fun to start with, you know, hear this. And then people reached out about it, you know, sent me stuff and told me stories, and you could find some articles. And so, yeah, just kind of a way to preserve it and keep our classy history, because we're just losing. You know, I started coaching, there was 32 teams in the North, and now we're down to 24. Okay. You know, a lot of co-ops and, you know, just the pride of, you know, Grass Ranges and Winnetts and, you know, Denton Geyser, Stanford, Geraldine, for crying out loud, one, you know, and just try to keep that history from the old timers, and the Stanford teams of the 60s were really good, and just fun to talk to those people.
Is it only basketball, or does that go to football as well?
I'd only done the basketball. Okay. Yeah. You know, I had a lot of fun because people got me on when Six Man started in 1982, dad was in Denton, and that was one of the first teams, and Joplin played Geyser, which I had a couple of the kids' dads played for me. So it's fun hearing those stories about the first eight, you know, the original eight, you know, the Grass Ranges and the Geysers, and, you know, I'll forget them, Joplin and Highwood and Denton and I think Centerville, one of the original, there's eight of them. Yeah. But just hearing those old stories and how it progressed, and I don't know, I just love that. Just love sitting down and listening to people about that. And
everybody has their thing, you know, and I know that, I knew that mascots were certainly on your page, but I didn't realize it went as deep as it did as far as basketball goes. So if anybody has any information, if we're talking programs or anything like that, if you get them to us, that'd be great.
I'd love it. Like, you know, I collected helmets. I had 74 helmets in my basement. That was the first thing my wife was happy to get rid of. But, you know, and they were extinct schools, you know, the Dutton Cardinals, you know, you know, the Med Lake Honkers, you know, just random helmets of people around the state. And they're in the basement of the brew pub. We'll get them up someday.
Okay. I was just going to ask where they went to. Okay.
Went to Jimmer. There's Jimmer's godfather, Stinson, owns the brew pub. So, you know, Joseph and Johanna were here. But yeah, I just love that history of, you know, things like that.
What's your favorite school that is defunct as far as a mascot goes?
Well, my Coyotes at Chester, but Kremlin Foxes is a good one. That's one of the original ones that you don't hear much. You know, the Outlook Blue Jays. You know, the Inverness Cardinals, just Yeah. Probably the highlight ones, you know, the Guilford Broncos, the Hingham Rangers.
So if Jeopardy had a Class C mascot, like, you would be the man, period.
I would hope. I got the colors, and yeah, I just have no life. It was just my outlet, you know, and especially during COVID, I was bummed and had 3 or 4 months to do nothing. So I'd get on the treadmill and just call people and write stuff down. And, you know, then talking like Coach Durham loves England, grew up in Geraldine, the Haiti. There was just so many people that were like this. Yeah. And it just gave us something to do. And yeah, I mean, I got, you know, cardboard boxes full of programs and stuff like that. And just, it was fun. Yeah. Just growing up, you know, seeing JC Isaacson, you know, and I'm like, Frankie, he's a little brother of Brody and Josh. You know, that was when Augusta was good in the early 90s, you know, and still just remembering those teams. And, you know, it was just awesome.
Your Rolodex of people is astounding to me. You know, and I, even when you took this job at Montana Tech, you know, I love being around you going, all right, now who's that? Now, why should I know that name? It's one of those where I've told you names once and I've never had to again. Your ability to remember people, significance, or if there was or not, I'm not saying you had to, there had to be a significance, but ingraining yourself that way is special to you, and you can see how much it means to you.
Yeah, I just love getting to know people, you know. Just Griff was always like that, you know, taking the time to talk to people, you know, listening to their stories, and they always have something to learn from, you know, and just being blessed to be a part of, you know, the MHSA for so many years and seeing those ADs and knowing what those schools struggle with and how to help them. And, you know, being part of the coaches clinic now and just getting to all those people and what they care about, you know, it's just special, you know. I don't know. It's always been just fun meeting people and listening to stories and learning about the community. Like, people just have such immense pride in their communities, and that's what's appealing to Butte. Butte reminds me of that, because we're just, you know, one big town, Central Butte High, and, you know, they care so much about the history. It just reminds me of, like, going to sit in the tavern at Winifred and listening, you know, them talk about the 76 team and then all their sons, you know, win it 06 or 07. I think I got that 07. Shoot, Stoltz, you'll be mad. But, I mean, how their next generation of kids win it, you know, and I think they're probably kindergarten or first grade. There's 12 boys in the class, and the boys are coming, you know. The Udelhoven triplets will help that out, and the Economs. But it's just cool to hear those old stories about things like that and keep it going. You know, Scobie, the names never change, and that's why they dominate. You know, it's cool to see. You know?
Yeah, and like I said, that's probably the way you already brought it up initially, but I mean, that's why you have to love our community, is that's it's such a big part of who we are in the Butte Sports Hall of Fame. And you know, the amount of people that makes happy, but also just irritates daily, is a good indicator of why it's important to Butte, Montana.
Walking in your guys' high school for the first time for a shoot around for the Frontier Tournament, like a Coach Durham, I'm like, wow, look at all the pit, like, look at the history. And then Crazy. Getting to know Bernie, just that place is awesome. You know, the KC, and that stuff. I'm just like, that was what I was doing on a way, way, way smaller scale, and just, you know, try not to, you know, let this history be forgotten. And yeah, it's just amazing the amount of people and the stories and how everybody's tied together. I know, I'm like, well, I just like to BS people. I like to talk to a lot of people, and there's always, you know, I loved reading, like, when you guys, you know, you guys always had, you know, coming here for the 8-man game, you know, listening to Mr. Kearney, like, that was just the speech. I still remember him giving me that speech as a player, you know. And then as the coach all the years I coached there, you know, coming, being around with Teddy.
Well, that was a karaoke night. That was a cold different.
It was just awesome how Butte presented. And then, and, you know, being a Montana history teacher and a history teacher, I just love that, you know. And, you know, we and Belt were very similar. You know, we were part of the Anaconda Company. So just that tie-in and the minds and the type of people we had. And, you know, we got up down there. You know, we got the houses next together, the company town, and, you know, the roots of that and the Centerville folk and just how tough they are, and, you know, the mining people. And, you know, we just always kind of related to the Butte culture, and just, it was fun.
The one, the only, Jeff Graham, ladies and gentlemen, Montana Tech women's basketball coach, here on Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. My thanks to him for taking time out of his busy schedule to come on in and chat here today. Looking ahead, coming up next here on Roll Digs, we're going to have our athletic director, Matt Steppen, join us. We will talk about the Frontier Conference as we know it currently, and also about the changing footprints and the big changes that are on the horizon for the Frontier Conference. We'll also talk talk about some possible changes coming to the Montana Tech Hyper. So a lot on the agenda. Again, the next time out, we'll check in with Matt Steppen. And I want to kind of inform you that we will have some bonus episodes as we get closer to the Frontier Conference tournament. We will talk to our head coaches. We'll talk to our seniors as well for the basketball programs and get you ready to roll for the Frontier Conference tournament. All that coming up on future episodes of Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. I'm Paul Panisco. Hey, thanks for joining us here once again. And remember to share, like, and rate, and whatever else you're supposed to do. And we'll talk to you next time. Take care.